happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it
up. Hi, this is Gail Moskowitz and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I appreciate you all listening today, and my hope is that you will enjoy the show. I think we're going to have a combination of a little bit of fun today and also explore the subject of phobia, explore the subject of fear. And I'm going to try to make some sense out of what is fear and what is phobia. So my name is Gail Moskowitz, and you are, as I said, listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and you know what? I have had the privilege to practice clinical social work in the Richmond community for over 31 years. I love doing this show. Mental Health Matters is a program that I dedicate to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and hopefully discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest life, and a fulfilling life. You know, psychological issues are complex and they're often misunderstood. I think that fear is one of those complex and misunderstood issues that exists in everybody's life. And what we don't understand is that all of us have fear. And some of us let fear keep us from living the life we want to have. I come to you every Thursday at 1 o'clock. And I hope that you will continue to tune in. You can listen to us on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can listen to the program in real time as well by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. If you go to the website, you can click on my show, and that'll take you to my website. Also, if you have some comments you would like to make, questions, or suggestions for a future show, really would appreciate you emailing me at yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. That's the letters yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Actually, as we speak today, if you would like to just send me your greatest fear, I would really appreciate it. I'm going to keep my Gmail account open while we're doing the show. And if you would like to send me your greatest fear, I'd really appreciate it. I also would appreciate it if you'd give me a call, 649-9737, 649-9737, and tell me, what is your greatest fear? And does it keep you from having the life you'd like to have? Now, there are so many things to fear in the world, and things of that, but some people have some fears that are interesting or different. When you get on the internet and you look at the list of fears that people have, the list of anxieties, the list of things that people can be phobic of, it just goes on and on. It's really pretty funny. Some of them are, I can't even pronounce. They're sort of so odd. But phobia is a real thing, and it isn't funny. Phobia is the kind of fear that is irrational, and that once you are exposed to that fear, you become panicky and perhaps even have a panic attack. And we've talked about panic attacks on this show before. And then people go about trying to avoid having that panic attack. And so what they begin to do is they think if they avoid that fear, whatever that might be, then they will avoid having a panic attack. And unfortunately, this becomes circular thinking to the point of derailing people. If you have a fear, either one that you think might be a phobia or one that you think is sort of odd, or you just would like to talk about things that make you afraid, get in your way of having the life you'd like to have, give me a ring, 649-9737, 649-9737. So some people who are prone to extreme anxiety and phobia, they have a lot of different fears, and that really the phobia really does derail their lives. And we can speak, for instance, about agoraphobia. Agoraphobia, I believe, is translated as fear of open spaces. And really what happens in agoraphobia is that an individual literally becomes fearful of crowded public places, and they can become so anxious just at the thought of that, that individuals can't even get themselves to leave the house, and their lives really become crippled. Anxiety is a crippling thing. People have panic attacks and they don't even understand what it is they're feeling. And what you don't know is that it's really something that is amenable to treatment. Cognitive behavioral therapy, a little bit of talk therapy, and even some medication can really help you with your fears. So if you have a particular fear, I would really appreciate it if you can give me a ring today, 649. I just forgot the number. If you could give me a ring and tell me what your fears are at 649-9737. 649-9737. So I was thinking about fear this week, and I'll tell you why I've been thinking about fear this week. I've been thinking about fear this week because I people are responding to my fear question. This is great. I love it. Okay. People are writing in. This is really wonderful. So my daughter, and I think I said this last week, got her driver's license a week ago Monday. And this Tuesday, I let her drive to school. Then she left the school campus to drive to where she does her little, she has a little field placement at one of the elementary schools. She teaches Spanish. And then she drove back to school, and then she had to drive to karate, and from karate she had to drive to piano, and then from piano she had to drive to her babysitting gig. And I have to tell you that I could not sleep for the 2 days prior to her sort of taking this voyage of the day where she had to get in and out of the car 3 or 4 times. I did not sleep well at all the night before. I'm not sure I closed my eyes. And then the day that she did, on Tuesday of this week, I have to say that I was pretty much sick to my stomach all day. And I just could not believe how anxious this made me. Now, what's interesting about this anxiety, and it's important to understand, is that we all feel anxiety, and that it is incumbent upon us that we have to go out of our way to manage our anxieties, because it is the only way we can move on with our lives. And as a parent, you have to manage your anxiety about your children growing up and leaving, or they won't be able to manage their lives, because parenting is an exercise in letting go. So I'm better today. And let me tell you, the best way to manage fear is to face it and get through it and practice it. So if you, for instance, have a fear of heights, you learn the techniques you need to manage your anxiety, and you keep going and you keep facing the fear of heights by going to someplace where you have to manage your fear until your fear subsides. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. It's called in vivo desensitization. So, okay, here's the fears that people just wrote in about. Let me see. Two that plague me, and one of them prompted even a move to a new house, among other things. The fear of water, the fear of drowning. That's interesting, isn't it? And a fear that a building might collapse, that she gets scared when she can feel the floor move, no matter the size of the building. These are not unusual fears. One of the things that happens sometimes is a thought pops into your head, and then all of a sudden you give it credibility because it's in your head and you don't even know where it came from to begin with. Well, these are not unusual or outrageous fears to be afraid of drowning. It's that you then get sensitized to that anxiety, and then it comes back up and you feel the anxiety again, and it becomes this huge thought when it just started out as being a random thought, which we all get. We all get random thoughts. We all get that thought where you might be walking over a bridge and you get the thought of, oh my God, I could just jump off this bridge into the water, or I could fall and plunge to the ground here. And that would be a random thought, and you just let it go. All of us have random thoughts like that. But when you get those random thoughts and then you become sensitized to them, they produce fear. And then you start facing those thoughts through this veneer or this pool, so to speak, of fear. And then you become sensitized to the fear itself and afraid of the fear itself. Or a building collapsing. I imagine if you lived in San Francisco, you might have more of a fear of a building collapsing. That would make sense to me. But you, again, might have been in a place where the building was shaking and it made you so nervous. And then that fear keeps coming back into your mind. The number to reach me today is 649-9737, 649-9737. Feel free to call and give me a ring. Tell me what you do, what you are afraid of, and perhaps I can give you some help as to what to do to manage these fears. Okay, so someone else wrote and said that their greatest fear is death, which is, that's a big fear, and we'll talk about that in a second. And of lightning, that's interesting, and of course of plane crashes. Now, some people have fears of planes crashing around them, where when they see a plane flying over or they're at the airport, the sheer intensity of that of the plane makes them very anxious, and they might have been gotten sensitized to that as a child, and they literally are afraid of something falling out of the sky and hurting them. And then, of course, some people are deadly afraid of getting on a plane, and a million thoughts: what if this plane, if something happens, this plane will fall, I will get killed. There's no middle ground, and some people do have a terrible fear of flying. I mean, I know some very functional, sane human beings who will not fly. They'll drive long distances instead of confronting their fear of the plane. One of the gentlemen in the studio said that his fear was of failure, and the other gentleman said that he didn't have that fear because he's already been there, done that. Didn't bother him. He'd be just fine. But he told me that he had a terrible fear of spiders. Big fear. Why are spiders such a fear? It's interesting because this gentleman said it's because he got a terrible, terrible, terrible spider bite from one of those recluse spiders, and he became so deadly ill that he literally missed lots and lots of school that year. He was young. It was terrible. But most people's fear of spiders do not come from ever having been bit. It's just the creepiness of that look, and that it starts as a child and you become sensitized to your fear. It's a very big fear. You know what the top fear is? The top fear? The top fear is the fear of public speaking. More people than not have some anxiety about public speaking. They're afraid that people are going to make fun of them. They're afraid they're going to stumble over their words. They're afraid that their hands are going to sweat. They're afraid they're going to make a fool of themselves. They are afraid they're not going to make sense. Whatever it is, there's a lot of what-if thinking in regard to being afraid of public speaking. Another person says that their worst fear is of being incompetent and unsuccessful in their future, not being successful in their future career, and that they're afraid of the things they haven't gotten to yet, of becoming a mother, of getting married, people do have that fear. It's an enormous, you know, undertaking to hook your star to somebody, to marry them. In some ways, I wish people had a little bit more fear of getting married so they think about it more productively before they rushed into things. But you can't be afraid of it. You have to just believe that you have the skills to manage in the day to day. I also think people are afraid of being miserable in a marriage and not being able to get out. And of course, being a parent, if you didn't have a functional parent, it's hard to think that you might have the skills to manage your child today. And that makes sense. And of course, your career is big, and that could cause fear, too. We all sort of fear being incompetent. Someone else says that they have a fear of going into natural bodies of water. That's interesting. Second fear in regard to water. And spiders, another person says spiders. Interesting. Somebody says snakes, falling, being too scared to move or scream in a really scary situation, like if somebody was breaking into the house. Now, that's a fear that you might have, that you could be afraid of that. But if you live your life in the service of protecting yourself from somebody breaking in and you not having the skills to manage, to know what to do, then that's when your life becomes dysfunctional. And it's an important distinction to make. So let me see. Let me just read some of these. This is from the list. This is just the A's. Ablutophobia, fear of washing or bathing. Acrophobia, which is fear of itching or of the insects that cause itching. Interesting. This is interesting. Acerophobia, fear of sourness. Acluophobia, fear of darkness. Acoustophobia, fear of noise. Now, that's an interesting thought, being afraid of noise, because some people are very sensitized to noise. It irritates them. And some people are better at screening out irritants than others. And actually, let me say this. This is really an important point. Phobia, which is the irrational fear that causes panic, and then you start to avoid that particular thing so that you can avoid the panic. It is the reason that, one of the reasons that we've begun to understand that people have this kind of phobia, these irrational fears, is that they have an inability to screen out the stimuli that normal or typical people can just screen out on a as a matter of course. Like I said before, if a thought drops into your head, we all have that. And most of us then know how to sort of boot that out and move on or never think about it again, where some people would be so horrified that they had that thought that they then become sensitized to that thought. There is a okay, so the idea of not being able to screen out stimuli, this is important. If you are driving on 95, okay, and you're going north on a Friday afternoon and it's so busy and there's a million cars and people are in a hurry and they're eating behind the wheel of your car and they're not paying attention and they're exhausted and you're in your car driving and you look around and you look to see what everybody is doing in those cars as you're driving down this crowded highway and you can't screen out what they're doing, that somebody's, you know, picking their nose, perhaps, or eating a hamburger, or looking for the French fry that dropped on the ground, or whatever it might be. And you can't screen out all of this that's going on around you. And you have a panic attack because you can't screen out what everyone's doing around you. And then all of a sudden, you become anxious about driving on the highway in any way, shape, or form. Then your life becomes unmanageable because you've stopped driving. Okay, so I gave you that example because you can sort of see that example. That's a big example. But for a lot of people who, let's say, have a driving phobia, they just can't screen out phobia. They can't screen out stimuli as a matter of course. They're incapable of screening out stimuli. They are incapable of screening out the details of things. And they start to say to themselves, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? Things that you have to be able to screen out as a matter of course to go on with your life. Well, what if I'm driving on the highway and 20 miles away and I don't know about it, someone has an accident and the traffic comes to a halt and my brakes don't work and I can't come to a stop and how am I going to be able to drive? Or how can I merge on the highway if the traffic is very heavy? Or, you know, whatever that is, this list of things that go through an individual's mind that they are called what-if thinking. So people who have phobias have this what-if thinking. And then they become derailed by these, what we begin to call cognitive distortions. So they go from, well, what if this happens and what if that happens, to the consequences of, well, if that happens, then maybe what will happen to me is that I won't be able to hit my brakes fast enough and I'll hit the car in front of me, to I'm almost positive that if I get on that highway, there's going to be an accident and I might hit the car in front of me. Those are called cognitive distortions. And what we do in cognitive behavioral therapy is we get people to list those things that are absolute anxieties for them. And then we get them to discern their what-if list and their and discern the anxieties they have as they move into a certain situation, which we call the word just went out of my head, and I'll get back to it in a second, anticipatory anxiety. And then we get them to look at all their cognitive distortions, and we get them to manage those cognitive distortions in a safe place where they're able to at least look at those things, and they're able to say, of course, that doesn't make much sense. And then we take those things and we begin to teach that person an ability to manage their anxiety. And we not only teach them an ability to manage their anxiety, we teach them that they won't die from the anxiety, that they can manage the anxiety and that it will come down, that it will eventually abate. And then we have them begin to systematically face that anxiety. So drive in the car over and over and over again. First in maybe just to get in the car and turn the car on, maybe to just drive around the corner, to drive a mile and a mile back. And then they face this anxiety over and over again while they learn to pay attention to their breathing. They learn to be able to expect and accept that their anxiety is going to get higher, and that they have the skills to expect and accept that they can make their anxiety abate. And this is called in vivo desensitization. It's really helping people to face their fears. Okay, there's a lot of fears that really aren't phobia for people. They're just sort of the things that we as human beings kind of might be afraid of for one thing or another. Like I don't really have too many phobic reactions to things, but I have at 3 times in my life gotten very anxious in a crowded place where I didn't think I had an exit. Once I was on a crowded train in Mexico City, and it was so stuffed in there. And people really do die on these horrible, crowded trains occasionally. It was so hot, and there were so many people in this train car, and there were so many people squeezing up against me that it came into my head that I could get smothered, and really frightened me. And I'm not sure you would ever get me to get back on a subway in Mexico City in rush hour traffic. But it doesn't, it didn't trigger me to that place where I'm never going to get on a subway, or I'm going to be afraid if I'm ever in another crowded place again, because I don't have that kind of anxious thinking. But I do have other kinds of fears that are a little bit more, that are a little sillier. Somebody wrote and said that they had a fear of open bodies of water. Some people are afraid of what might bite their feet. I have a little bit of a fear of the ocean, because I got recirculated in a wave when I was in high school. If you have some interesting fears, please feel free to email me at yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Those are the letters, yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com, or give me a ring at 649-9737, 649-9737. I've gotten enough email here. Don't like being in a boat in open water like the bay or the ocean. Afraid that, so much so that I won't go on a cruise or let my kids ride on boats either. And I like to think it's healthy respect for the water, but it probably isn't. And that is true. People do think that. Like flying, people who are afraid of, very, very afraid of flying, they won't get on a plane, and they think that it's a healthy respect for the fact that we shouldn't be flying around in the air, or how frightening that can be. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're on Mental Health Matters.
Hi, my name is Rhonda, and I have a question. I have a fear that I wanted to talk about.
Yes, of course.
Okay. I spend a lot of time getting ready in the morning because I'm afraid of not being prepared. And so I bring a lot of things with me, and sometimes that hinders my ability to get out of the house or arrive places on time.
You know, Rhonda, you may have a little mixture of phobia and obsessive compulsive disorder. And obsessive compulsive disorder and phobia are very linked. So then you get it in your head that you're not going to be prepared. And the way you then try to manage your anxiety about that is to over-prepare and over-prepare, and then it makes you late. Are you late in the morning sometimes?
Yes.
Or you have to get up earlier and earlier, and it's really, you might have a little obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, there's this great book, it's called Brain Locked. It's written by some guy, his last name is Schwartz, I've forgotten his first name, Brain Locked. Mm-hmm. It's a great book. Why don't you go ahead and look at it? I think you'll find it interesting.
Brain Locked.
Thanks
okay,
for
thank
calling.
You. Thank you.
This is, another half hour is gone like a flash, and we'll get back to talking about fears another time. I really appreciate you all writing in and telling me about your fears. I think at another show we'll talk about more esoteric fears, or the things we can't really define, so they sit on our heart and they make us heavy, and it makes it hard for us to get on with our lives. I think so many of the things that make it hard for us to get on with our life are just fear. So listen, you know what? Open up to the world, manage your fears, and listen next week to Mental Health Matters at 1 o'clock on Thursday, WRIR.
When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now.